In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One note on the lesson from the prophet Isaiah. I would turn your attention to the very last verse of that passage from the prophet, Isaiah 49, verse 15. Some of you, in difficult moments, need to spend a lot of time pondering the words which he speaks there at the end. We'll repeat them for you. Sion, God's chosen mountain, representing all of Israel, God's people, says, "The Lord God hath forsaken me, he has forgotten me." And the Lord God responds, "Can a woman forget her infant, so as to not have pity upon the son of her own womb? And even if she should forget, yet I will not forget thee, saith the Lord Almighty." Some of you need to recall those words and spend the rest of our time here today pondering what our Lord said in Holy Writ, that it might be remembered and taken to heart by you here today. Within the Gospel, our Lord concludes, St. John does, saying that all these things which are spoken about our Lord being the light of the world, the light which has come into the world, this is placed within the context of those last verses again, where it says, these words Jesus spoke in the treasury, teaching in the temple. Why is it important to the evangelist, the beloved disciple, the author of our gospel, to remind his hearers that here, these words of our Lord being the light of the world, that those who dwell in darkness cannot perceive him? Why is it that these words would be spoken of our Lord in the temple treasury? Why is it important to know such a thing? What is kept within the temple treasury? The temple treasury is the place where all the treasures of the temple lie. It should be obvious, but what are these treasures? There'd be all the necessary things that should be used throughout the course of the year for the worship of God, for the sacrifices, for the various offerings that must be laid up, the various precious vessels which have been consecrated unto God. It is here in that place. Do we not have a place like that here within God's temple, in this place which is so terrible, God's house? That's the sacristy. And you might ponder for a moment the very end of the gospel where it said nobody dared lay a hand upon him to take him, even though they hated him and desired to take his life. If it were in a place that was so small and closed in, like our sacristy, would it not be easy for such a thing to be done? Well, sadly, those who built our churches of late and did not do so as with such care as did the Jews of former times. That was a great, massive place. And here our sacristies are typically the smallest and last thought of rooms within the whole of the church. So in this massive place, they desired not to lay hands upon him. They were in that very place where all the treasures of God's house, of his people, are kept so that the worship of God might be continued. What else happened in this very portico, in this place of the temple treasury that extended a great massive location where they easily could have hemmed in our Lord and ended his ministry in that moment, here only progressing to the 8th chapter of John? We know as well that this is the place where there was a poor widow woman who had spent all her substance serving God. And here at the end, our Lord, watching as those who make great show of who they are, of what they are, grabbing great sums of money and placing them into the temple treasury one by one, dumping them in such a way so that the whole of their offering might make a great commotion of noise. And everybody would say, "Whoa, look at what they gave. Whoa, who is that person that so many coins could fall out in a single offering? Who are they?" The poor widow woman, as you know, dropped in 2 mites. But those 2 mites were the whole of her sustenance. So again, the Lord reminds us that that woman gave more than everybody else because she gave her entire sustenance on which she must rely to live, trusting everything to God. This is the very place where such a thing occurs. It was from this chest that the whole, the porch where it stood, was called the treasury. And so other reasons why Christ spoke this way in the treasury would be maybe even of a more hidden kind. It is in this place where the Pharisees lived in this place. They dwelt in this place because they wanted to be seen and wanted to collect the things that were there. It could be seen as their dark hideout. the thief of the den of the bandits that these Pharisees were, where they wrought all their evil devices, which Christ recounts in Matthew 5 and Matthew 23. What does he speak about in Matthew chapter 5 and in Matthew chapter 23? It is in these places where our Lord, he's speaking of all the vices which those who are official practitioners of God's law commit, where they do not live as they truly are called to be the salt of the earth, where they do not allow themselves to be cities set upon a hill that all might see the glory of God worked in them. Where our Lord speaks there that you shall not murder is not the limit of what you are called to do to be a follower of God, but also in the words which you speak against your brother. These are far graver than the act that is to be avoided in taking the life of a brother, not to take him of his good name. Again, not merely to commit adultery with the body, but so too, not to soil one's own soul with adultery lived out through one's eyes and desires. To not believe that a man can discard his wife for any reason whatsoever because God did not make it so. That one should not commit oaths and swear them in all sorts of ways, but rather to let their yes be yes and their no be no, which the Pharisees always found ways around. To not exact strict justice, but rather to give freely to anybody who needs to borrow, not an eye for an eye, and not only to love those who love you, for such is done even by pagans, but to forgive those even whilst they harm you, to love even enemies, because this is the perfection which is called for by the Father. Again, in Matthew 23, he accuses the Pharisees of all sorts of evils against the Lord God, warnings against hypocrisy he gives. That you should not perform all the righteous deeds. He goes on and on, showing how the Pharisees do that to make sure that they are seen so that exteriorly everything looks great and perfect in liturgy so that they themselves see that they are the ones who are to be looked forward to. And he hits them down with the seven woes to the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, of those who search over the entire world to make a convert. And as soon as they do, they make him twice a devil as they themselves, holding to the strictness where no mercy lies. Again and again, over and over, won't recount everything he says there, but he hits them hard for all these things. It was there which he did the same. So here, in the dark hiding place of the Pharisees, our Lord turns to them, and in this place where they hide out and do their wicked deeds, plotting all of their plots, he says here, do not hide in darkness, because I am the light of the world. I am the true light, the wisdom that really leads to holiness. It is I who teach men to despise earthly riches as mean and perishing, that they do not last, that they only remain within this life, that they do not get you beyond. Rather, aim at heavenly riches, which I bring. Those things are the real things that are great and to be looked high upon. These are the things which truly are heavenly, eternal, and lead unto an everlasting life. He's saying to all those who are there, do not follow the dark deeds of the Pharisees who are blindly intent upon these earthly riches, upon outward show. He's prophesying here that in not long, Vespasian will speedily carry off all the treasures carried off here, predicting the destruction of the temple in the year 70 AD. But rather follow me, for I am light in this world. Follow me because I preach to your poverty of spirit, that that's the way to gain boundless riches that know no end. It is because he said these things in their place that they conceived all the more greater hatred toward him. What else happened a little bit beyond this place within the gospel? It is in this very place where a certain false disciple, Judas, came and handed over the Lord. It is from there that they pulled out the 30 pieces of silver to offer unto him, the small price which they put upon the head of the Savior. It is therefore the reason why he willed from this very same spot that he would by these means be lifted up under the cross. And from the betrayal of the goods meant for the glory of God here, they would use them to purchase mankind truly and to draw all men unto himself, hanging upon that high gibbet of the cross. Christ speaks here from the treasury because he spake to the Jews in parables which were then begun, as it were, to be opened. And when he explained them to his disciples, it is then that he unlocked the heavenly mysteries that are therein conceived. He wants to remind them that he is the real treasury. He is the real treasury. Because when he opens his mouth, that's when real wisdom comes out that purchases something far greater than everything here contained in. In fact, everything here contained in, he wishes to say, is meant to serve the words which I speak, to serve me. He is the light of the world. And that is why the darkness of those whose hearts are closed in on themselves upon outward show cannot perceive it, cannot overcome it, and only drives them all the more mad to their wicked deeds, having their wicked deeds exposed. And so as we progress from this Mass, meaning it's the last Mass that we have in the season of Lent, for in a few hours we begin the season of the Passion, is that our Lord wishes to remind us that if we are to make it through the Passion, Passion Tide, the only way we can do so is by following He who is the light. And the light must go into the midst of the darkness and undergo its own suffering and passion to be hemmed in on every side by such darkness. So, within our Lenten journey, asking our Lord that we might have the grace not to be like those who seek outward show, but rather approach that light which exposes the darkness which lies within our own hearts, that it might be expunged and expelled, that where those false riches on which we have so often relied may be herein removed. And following the light, we can have the light of life dwelling herein. The conclusion of this Mass, there will be that opportunity to expose that darkness that lies within, and to allow ourselves to be full of light as the Christian is called to be in the sacrament of confession. And if you feel as though you are one who is abandoned, the one whom light cannot enter in, because of so many things which have held you bound to this point, of afraid to expose to the Lord's light, again return to the prophet Isaiah. For he says, even if a mother could ever even forget the child of her womb, still I will not forget thee, nor will he forget to return to thee when you call upon him with humbled and contrite heart. Let Christ be the light. Let him be your true treasury, that he may open to you the treasury which knows no end, found in his own person. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.